Welcome back to Off the Jaw. It's been a while.
It has been a while.
Yeah, I'm eager to get back in here.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
We have been extremely busy.
Yeah, new baby.
New summer. Baby.
Summer projects, yeah.
Jobs. Believe it or not, we do have full-time jobs.
Yeah, get a job.
Yeah, someone told us to get a job, losers.
This is my job.
Yeah, we only do this on the side.
Yeah, it's just for fun.
Other than that, what's been going on?
Well, Memorial Day just happened. There's like so many different sides to the family that I had like burgers 8 different times this week. And I gained like 8 pounds, you know.
Easily.
Yeah, in a week.
Yeah,
I tried. I'm still feeling it.
I was eating plant burgers.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. I like them.
Well, they've gotten good at that.
Yeah, I actually like them. If you cook them just right, they actually do taste like a burger.
Yeah, or if you put, you know, the right cheese on it.
I got to get my sexy back on.
Mm-hmm.
I put on way too much weight in the wintertime.
Yeah, I put on way too much, too. Anything you want to jump into today? Piss some more people off? Or what do you think?
Oh, my God. We got a whole entourage of people that are just...
People that just don't like us.
Don't like us. Well, actually, it's if you go by the numbers, it's like 70%. For us and 30% against
us. That's not so bad.
So,
and that also doesn't include the people that like you and hate me or hate you and like me. So
I don't know why you got to use the word hate anyways.
Well, yeah.
If you disagree, just disagree.
Yeah.
Like I said, the only thing I have is if you're going to disagree or say something silly, at least have a reason why you're saying it.
No, now you just invited people to shit on you for no reason. They'll do whatever you tell them to do. The opposite.
You know, I just think it's funny if somebody, you're a dummy.
Yeah.
Okay. Why? Yeah.
If you let them know it bothers you.
It doesn't, but I want to engage. I like to engage because
I also have
thousands of comments I've given back.
Well, I always wonder, like, because we both can comment from the same thing. So it's like sometimes it's you, sometimes it's me. I feel like it's obvious whenever it's which one of us it is. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Actually, we have an assistant that runs. Oh, yeah, that's true. Mine are short and sweet.
Yeah, I write a book.
We'll just hire somebody to take control of all the comments for it.
No, I love the comments. I just think it's funny when... Because if somebody does make a comment and I comment back, they never want to respond.
Yeah. No, they usually don't. Or they just move on to the next thing.
Or if the person, there are several one that we can have conversations with.
Yeah.
Which are great. That's what we want.
Yeah, I like that too.
And that's great.
So we're going to take it easy this week with a topic that's not controversial. It's not, nobody's going to get mad about it. So a light topic, Israel-Palestine.
That's a light topic?
It's the opposite. It's the worst. We're probably going to get more hate than ever. It's not like that kind of stuff I usually don't like to comment on because, like, I don't know. It's like everybody has a take on it and nobody really knows everything that's going on. So it's like pointless to try to give your opinion on it. But like over Memorial Day weekend, I mean, Israel is just like destroying these fucking people and everybody's just letting it happen. They told everybody to evacuate to Rafah. And then over the Memorial Day weekend, when at least Americans aren't paying attention, they just fucking destroyed the whole place, killed a shitload of people. And there's like videos on Twitter of uncensored people burning alive and people, you know.
Well, they targeted terrorist leaders there.
Is that what you think?
That's what they did.
That's not what they fucking did. That's
exactly what they did.
No. If they were targeting terrorist leaders, they wouldn't be blowing up schools and hospitals.
That's where they are.
That's where they are. So, okay, if I come out and shoot you and then I run into
it's
a preschool,
it's absolutely,
are you going to blow up the preschool?
It's absolutely horrible what terrorists do. They use humans as shields and they hide behind it.
Yeah. So then you just have to blow up the preschool.
We have different ways of doing things.
Well, so did they. They had different ways of doing things before Netanyahu. And now that he's around, it's just like, oh, yeah, wherever they're at, we'll bomb it. Even if we're not sure if they're there or even if we saw somebody who looks like they had a gun, but it was really.
But if you let them go, they just come back.
OK, so you have to wipe out the entire 2 million.
There is also called civilian casualties. Now, I don't agree with everything, but civilian casualties happen.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely happen.
They definitely happen.
I mean, it should be minimized and they're not doing anything.
It should be with today's technology. Yes.
Yeah,
it should be at almost a very, very minimal.
They have like the most sophisticated military in the Middle East because we give them $4 billion a year. And somehow
they actually have one of the best special force units in Israel.
So they're
one
not
of the top elites.
They're not isolating targets, though. They're just blowing up everybody. They're telling people to evacuate and then blowing up the places where they evacuate to. The humanitarian aid workers that come there, they will bomb their vans.
Yeah, well,
that's like
if you said
Geneva Convention violation.
If you said evacuate Elwood City and you didn't leave and they dropped a bomb and it killed millions or 20,000 people because they refuse to leave.
Where do they go? They're in an open air prison. Where are they going to go?
I don't know.
How are they going
to leave? But I'm just saying.
I get what you're saying. That's the excuse they always give. Like, oh, they gave a warning. And it's like, these people have been here long. Joe Biden is older than Israel. The people who have...
You mean Joe Biden's red line? We didn't cross that red line.
Oh, yeah. He's just going to let them keep doing it.
Of course. You have to understand, there's a lot of things I don't agree with when it comes to war. But war is the most profitable business that there ever is.
Yeah.
It's money driven. If you think it's all targets and they're doing things for a certain reason, it's usually something else behind it.
It's just, yeah, it's money, power, and control. It's like they've been talking about overthrowing Assad or Saddam for decades before they actually did it, because that's their plan. We're like, well, we want the oil. We want access to their, we want to put our bases there. We want a regime change. So they start using, you know, our currency. But something, I don't know, it keeps happening.
But being for somebody who was in the military.
Yeah, true.
You know, I've seen it firsthand.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I've seen it firsthand. I mean, I've seen it during the Gulf War. You know, I've watched the military manipulate the media and do the complete opposite. I mean, we had troops in there before anybody even knew what happened.
Guarding the poppy fields, too.
Yeah, we had oil fields secured before anybody even knew what was going on. Mm-hmm. So, yes, you're never going to know everything because that would defeat the purpose.
Well, then how do we...
You can't say, okay, this is what our strategy is. This is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it. If you did that, then... you would never achieve anything because the other side would know exactly what you're doing.
Yeah, that's true.
So they're never going to tell you. You will never, ever, ever know what they're doing.
But if what they're doing is evil, how do we stop it?
What's defined as evil?
Murdering innocents.
Are you talking about civilian casualties?
I'm talking about bombing weddings, and I'm talking about drone strikes that kill.
And that's what you saw.
I mean, I have seen that, yeah.
You've seen a bomb coming down and destroying weddings.
Yeah, Julian Assange leaked that. That's why he's going insane in a prison cell right now.
No, he leaked that.
Yeah.
Of weddings being destroyed.
Yeah, that happened.
There's video proof of that.
Yeah.
Where?
Well, wait, hold on. Give me a second. Huh. You know you're going to make me look it up? Hold on.
Again.
What?
There's a difference between targeting civilians and civilian casualties. If you're telling me that they are targeting weddings and dropping bombs for the hell of it, that's different.
I want to see this fact check where it says, did Obama order a drone strike on a wedding? They're going to say that's mostly false. 23 children and 10 women in Wekbagdo, Afghanistan. Verdict, false. Oh, it occurred under the Bush administration.
Mm.
So, I mean, it still happened. It was still an airstrike.
They didn't say, we're going to blow up that wedding right there. Just for the hell of it.
Well, yeah, they say, oh, there's a threat there. There's somebody there who is a cousin.
What if there was?
You don't blow up a wedding.
What if there was a top Al-Qaeda leader hiding in that wedding?
We trained Al-Qaeda. We gave them the weapon. So it's like, I mean, there's pictures of John McCain shaking hands with al-Baghdadi. We created. And
what if everybody in that wedding has some type of ties to Al-Qaeda or some type of thing that you never knew about?
And you think you just give them the benefit of the doubt?
I didn't ask you that. I just said, what if they had?
What if?
What if? Because that's what you're doing. You're telling me what if.
Okay. So what if all the women and children there were part of Al-Qaeda?
What if they were?
What if they were? Then, okay, sure.
Is it okay to kill women and children if they're Al-Qaeda?
I think it's not okay to kill non-combatants if there's somebody who has like initiated aggression.
If these children are raised to hate Americans, to kill Americans.
Right.
And then they're killed during combat. Is that okay? Even though they never picked up a gun.
I don't think that's okay. No, I don't. If, like, we had a civil war and it's, like, you know, North versus South, would you say the same thing of, like, a Southern kid who was raised to hate the Northerners and then we go kill that kid who's 9 years old? Like, is that okay? Or is it just okay because they're in the Middle East and we never get to see them and they're brown and nobody, who cares? Is that like, you know, that seems like.
Yeah. See, you look at it from a position of non-military status.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
That's your biased opinion.
It may be biased.
Yeah. So when you talk to veterans who actually were in Afghanistan and who fought those style people, mm-hmm. and they tell you something different, would that change your mind?
I mean, it depends on what they told me, but like, it still doesn't take away from the big picture that you shouldn't be there. We shouldn't be there. Why would we go there? We don't need to. We don't need to be anywhere but here. I don't think we need to have bases and other... I don't think we need to, like, have military installations in every other country in the world. I think we need to keep to ourselves. And I think we're wasting taxpayer dollars that could be used to solve the homeless problem or, mm-hmm. you know, feed children or whatever. And we're using that to blow up people.
You're using that to blow up people.
Yeah.
So, we're the bad guys.
Where are the bad guys?
We are the bad guys. Oh, we guys.
Are. The United
States. In your eyes.
The United
States government. So when terrorists do bombings and kill innocent people, it's okay.
No, it's not okay. Those people should be killed.
Well, how do you know who they are?
Well, you can't just go like...
How do you know who they are? If they, if you are a terrorist organization, an Al-Qaeda, mm-hmm. and you blend in with the population, yeah. you don't know who is who.
So you can't just start shooting
blindly. That's what happened in Afghanistan. It was hard to define targets because you didn't know who the hell you were fighting.
Yeah, and we shouldn't have been there in the first
place. Because, you know, you target Al-Qaeda targets and then, okay, everybody else is throwing their hands saying, we're not Al-Qaeda. And then you turn around and you get shot in the back.
Yeah, I'm sure that happens a lot.
It happened a lot.
A good way to avoid that is by not going to fucking Afghanistan. I don't know. That's just what I think. It's the whole thing is like that. I feel like we're brainwashed to think that like, oh, Operation Iraqi Freedom. We're going there to spread democracy through the region. We're going to save them. They're going to thank us. They're going to welcome us with open arms. And it's like, no, we destroyed their. How are they doing now? You think they're doing better now? Since we went there,
we didn't stop anything.
Yeah, we made it worse.
We didn't make anything worse. We did nothing different than the Soviets did.
Okay, Soviets were bad too.
The Soviets went into Afghanistan and they couldn't even do it. We went in and did it and we couldn't even do
it. It's like the empire grinder if you go in there. It's a war you can't win.
Because you can't figure out who you're fighting.
Yeah.
Because there's rules. There are rules. The Geneva Convention only allows you to do certain things. Mm-hmm. Your enemy doesn't follow the Geneva Convention. Right. So they don't have to follow those rules.
Yeah.
So... It's a lose-lose situation.
Well, in a case of like Israel Hamas, neither of them follow the rules of the Geneva Convention. You know, they're both violating human rights. They're both killing innocents. They're both targeting innocents. And it's, I don't know, it's a hard situation because like the people of Palestine don't have a government. They can't vote their way out of this. They can't just like, what, do you think they should all just leave and give all the land to Israel? Do you think that would be...
Isn't that usually what happens when someone gets conquered? You act like this has never happened before.
But they weren't conquered. They were...
I'm just saying, this is what happens when other countries conquer other countries. This has happened for centuries.
Do you think that if we did that now, too...
I'm not saying what they're doing is right. But what I'm saying is you're throwing your hands up in the air as if we all need to stop just doing everything and just let the bad guys kick our ass.
No, we just need to...
You're like, it's okay for everybody else to do it, but we can't. It's okay for terrorists to blow up innocent civilians, but when we bomb terrorists and innocent civilians are killed, we're horrible.
No, I think we don't need to be involved in any foreign affairs. I think the whole reason 9/11 happened is because we were involved in the Middle East. You think they just did it like for fun? Like they did it because we've been over there fucking them for a long time, you know? So that's just what I think. That not that we like, if we had been minding our own business and not trying to rape the land over there, then that wouldn't have ever happened. So I don't know. It's not like they're just crazy religious freaks, which of course some of them are. But no, we provoked.
We provoked who?
We provoked Al Qaeda. We provoked the Taliban. We provoked ISIS. We did, and while also creating and arming them, and then later you give a bunch of, you know, moderate rebels a bunch of weapons and train them how to fight, and then they're going
to
use them against.
We gave weapons to them to defend themselves against the Soviet Union.
Yeah,
and then they turned around and used it against us.
And we've given them weapons since then. I mean, we were given ISIS weapons back in the early 2000s.
War is the most profitable industry there ever is. I mean, what you need to be talking about, and nobody wants to talk about, are the companies that make huge profit off of war.
Yeah.
They're the designers. They make the weapons. They sell the weapons. They're not just... Okay, we make these weapons and sell them to the United States. They make the weapons and they sell them to everybody. Even when they're told not to, they just go around the black market and do it anyways.
Yeah, no, they do, and they should be shut down. I'm trying to think.
Nobody gets no name one time you've seen somebody, a company get shut down because of that.
No, they get to be vice president, those guys, like Dick Cheney. You know what I mean?
And they get humongous amounts of grants and money and government funding.
Mm-hmm. And they lobby and they get government contracts and then they take our money use it for that.
These are the people that we should always be targeting, but we never do.
Yeah, we definitely should be.
We talk about everything else but that.
They should be shut down. They should be publicly executed.
It's wrong to kill innocent, but execute these people.
These weapons dealers, they're not innocent.
So that's has always been my take when it comes to conflict. It's always a business. If they can't make money off of it, there's no conflict.
But they are hollowing out our entire country and economy by doing it. So it's like, how much longer can this go on? Like, we're already $34 trillion in debt and we're still worried about, I don't know, like electing people who aren't going to do anything about it. And then anybody who does want to do something about it, they don't get elected, you know? All the donors will turn on them.
Exactly.
So there's no way out. How do we win?
You don't.
Do we just sit here and wait for it all to fall apart?
Eventually.
Yeah. It's sad. Actually,
China will take over.
Yeah, you think they'll be nice to us?
No.
No? No. I don't know. I feel like China needs us as much as we need them.
It's a vicious circle. It's the ebb and flows, the rise of powers. You know, it's been going on for centuries. This is nothing new.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go back in history and look at all the conflicts and all the issues. Go all the way back. I don't care where it is. World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Korean War. They all have issues. They have reasons why we shouldn't have been there.
Mm-hmm.
But we were.
Yeah.
And there's always an underline why we were there that you will never know about.
Yeah, that's usually what it is. And I just think it's gotten to a point where, like, with the internet this time, that not, like, this part of the cycle that we're going through.
See, and I'll never take a stand. It's hard for me because, you know, when American soldiers lose their lives, you know, it's nothing to be taken lightly. So it's hard for me to always try to say, you know, oh, we have no business being here doing this, doing that, doing this. There's a reason why we're there. It might not be the way you see it or the right way or the way it's portrayed in the media, because the media will take anything and blow it out of proportion.
That's true. In my mind, they are tricking these young kids into, this is something great. And this is you'll be a hero. You're a patriot. It's honorable. And then they send them to go die for oil or go die for nothing. And it's like, of course I respect those people, but they're being tricked, you know, like just because they give their life doesn't mean that like the government,
they're definitely not being tricked. You have to.
What do you think?
One is forcing you to join the military. Where other countries, you have to join the military. You're not forced to. It is your decision to sign that paperwork. It is your decision to take that oath. It is your decision to go through basic training. You know, it is your decision to pick up a weapon and fight. That's your decision. You know, whether you have strong beliefs in your freedom of this country or why you're doing what you're doing, it's your choice. No one forced you to do it. You can be in China where you are forced to be in the military. There are other countries where you don't have a choice. This is what you're going to do. And that's the way it is. So I can't say people are being tricked into doing this.
So then that makes it, I mean, if you follow that logic, that makes it like harder to feel bad for them when it's like, this is what you signed up for. You know?
Yes. When you sign up for the military, you have to understand it is service before self. The moment you do that, it is not about you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not about your family. It's about the military. So that's why it's called service before self.
Mm-hmm.
So, and these are, you know, beliefs that you believe in when you're in the military. If you don't, you get out. There are many, many people who don't make it in the military, who get washed out. And the ones that don't stay, you know, and they know what they're getting into. It's not like they're being tricked.
See, I don't know if they know what they're getting into, because you know what, like, the number one cause of death for U.S. soldiers is? Suicide. It's the number one cause of death currently for the past 40 years.
So the number one suicide rate in civilian is air traffic controller.
Is that true? I'm saying that the number one cause of death for soldiers is suicide. I'm saying that they're going over there. They're being ordered to do evil shit. They come back. They can't handle it.
No.
That's what I think.
No. No, because you've never been in that scenario.
Yeah,
I've never been in that scenario, but I know people who have been in that scenario. Mm-hmm. When you are put in a combat situation where there is an enemy firing upon you, trying to kill you.
Yeah.
And you have to return fire because you don't want to die,
mm-hmm.
And you kill people. You kill combatants and things. It messes with your mind. You're human.
Yeah, I 100% believe
you see
that,
people being blown up, ripped apart. You see your brother or sister who's beside you, who you're fighting with, get killed or shot. I mean, that mentally messes with your mind. And that's what when you come back into the civilian world, people can't let it go. They can't get those images out of their head.
Yeah.
And that's what causes those issues.
I just don't think we should be sending people over there to get killed and to watch each other die and to kill. To me, it's like, what are we getting out of it as a people? I know you've already reiterated that it's a business and it's the weapons companies that are making all this money. But like, I think pretty much every war has been unnecessary and has hurt us mm-hmm. as a country.
So when a lot of soldiers went over to Afghanistan area, after like 9/11, everybody was pumped up, fired up. Look what they did to us. We need to retaliate,
mm-hmm.
And that was the soldiers' mindset.
Yeah.
And they went over there. And again, when they went over there, those are the images that happen, what you see, the combat situations, when you come back and you're not in that combat and you're not a soldier anymore, you can't just turn it off. People have a hard time just flipping that switch.
Yeah.
You can't unsee what you've already seen. So those are the issues. Now, not everybody. Some people can, or some people just choose to bury those feelings and they can cope with it better. Others can't. And that's where your suicides come into. That's where people, they can't function. They just can't. Because you are trained as a soldier to do what they need you to do.
Yeah.
And now when you're not a soldier and you've been through those combat situations, how do you turn it off?
Yeah. No, I totally get I understand that. So if you had to pick a side, are you supporting Israel? Are you supporting?
It's not about supporting who. It's I try to look at things from both sides, but I don't agree with everything. When I look at that, I'm like, could they have done something different? Is there a reason why there was a military strike and so many civilians were killed? What don't we know about it? What aren't we being told? What is the media only saying, but what is being hidden, of what really happened? You'll never understand it, nor will you ever get the truth, because the government's never going to let it out.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, but the media is saying like...
That's the media.
Yeah, the media is saying we need to support Israel. They're our number one ally in the Middle East. They're the number one supporter of LGBTQ in the Middle mm-hmm. East. They are the only democracy in the Middle East, all that stuff. And they just completely ignore like all of the... bad stuff, so I don't know. It just it's frustrating to watch. And because then you can go on like Twitter mm-hmm. X and see like actual videos of what's happening. Yeah. And it's like it's hard to watch. It's infuriating. You're like, why is nobody talking about this?
And when you're in combat, when you're giving an order, if it's a lawful order, you follow. If it's an unlawful order, you do not follow. You do not have to take action. If you know something is wrong, you don't have to do it. So that's what I'm saying. When things happen, nobody knows the full story. All you get is bits and pieces of what happened, because you're not going to see the whole story. No one's going to show you what's really happening.
Yeah.
And nor are the soldiers aren't even allowed to talk about it. So if they get interviewed, they're only allowed to say certain things. And then that's it, because they're instructed. If a media talks to you, you say this, this, and this, and that's it.
Yeah, that's a great cover for doing evil. It's like, oh, I'm just not allowed to talk about it. You know what I mean? Like,
that's your definition. Like, you keep saying evil.
Yeah. I think that, like, I guess to do something that's not in the interest of the United States, that's not in the interest of, like, humanity as a whole, and is only in the interest of people who are making money off of it, a good cover is, like, we're protecting national security.
So let me use this for an example. You have a group of military soldiers who are targeting a village in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
A known ISIS target.
Mm-hmm.
They go into this village and they have certain targets that they're looking for.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe 4, 5, or 6 targets. But there's 100, 150 people in this village. Women, children, mm-hmm. things like that. They go into this village and they get ambushed. Everybody seems to have weapons. So they open fire and they're killing everyone. But then Al-Qaeda takes those weapons away from those bodies of the people that they killed. And now they make it look like they killed a bunch of innocent people.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that
and happens. That is, yeah. Yes. And then that is projected out and the media is like, oh my God, look, they went in and they did all this stuff.
Yeah.
They killed all these innocent people. But the military won't say, oh no, no, that's not wrong. Look, we have the footage. They won't do that. You know, because they know what happened and they move on to the next target.
See, I think they should be more transparent. I mean, they don't need the public's
That's right. Consent. They don't need the public's consent.
But I wish they did. I don't know. I just wish they had to be more transparent and more accountable. And there's just no accountability and everybody can get away with whatever they want. And I think, it's tough because I would consider myself a patriot. I would consider myself patriotic. And I think that our government isn't, you know, I think that they're going against everything that our founding fathers stood for. I think that they're violating our rights one at a time, slowly, until we don't have them anymore. And I think that.
I would agree with you on a lot of terms of that statement that the definition of patriotism has changed. Because like I said, there are people out there who will tell you I'm a true patriot. Even if they serve this country like myself, they don't have to agree with everything. They don't have to agree with the government. They don't they don't even have to agree with the mission that they're doing, but they're under orders and they do that mission.
Yeah.
So like I said, it's hard for me to say what is right and what is wrong because I've been there and I've seen some of the things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there are some that are just outright wrong, but you'll never get the 100% true story.
So yeah, it is just really frustrating, watching all this happen and not being able to do anything about it. And also not knowing when you're being lied to of sometimes, the media is lying, sometimes they're not. And it's just, I just saw those videos over the weekend and I just got way too fired up about it. And having not done research and just going the fuck off about how I feel about it. But, I don't really know what else to say about it. I hope that the killing stops. I mean, that's all I can really say, but
war is never good for anything but profit.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, that's a fine line for me to walk. Only because I've served in this country. I don't agree with everything. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I don't agree with everything. I don't agree with some of the things that we did in Afghanistan. I don't even agree with what we did, some of the things at the Gulf War. There's a lot of things I don't agree with, but that doesn't make us evil.
Right. Well, it's difficult for me to even get across the way that I feel about it because a lot of people will say, if I say I don't think that our military should be involved in foreign conflicts, people will say you don't support the troops. And it's no, I have all the respect in the world for the troops. I just think that our government shouldn't be sending people over there. That doesn't mean that I'm not patriotic or I don't support the troops. I just don't believe in the mission. But
it's a huge web. It's not just the United States. So you think it's just the United States and it's not. You know, the United Nations is they're all linked together.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just, oh, look at the United States doing this. Look at the United States doing this. There's a reason why, if we're doing this to benefit this or to do this for a favor for another country to get this or so on and so on.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
I think, yeah, I just have a general mistrust. I usually just assume that it's nefarious. So, yeah, I mean, I know that's not always the case, but yeah, it's just hard. I'm definitely biased. But we can get out of this topic. I think it's been a little.
I think it's hard because we as a nation have never really truly been attacked on our own soil. I mean, yes, we had 9/11. But what I'm talking about is another military force putting boots on our country.
It's about to be Red Dawn here pretty soon.
So because no one's ever experienced that. Yeah. These other countries, they experienced it, like what's going on with Israel and you're talking about civilians getting bombed and killed. That's what would happen if there was a war here. That same thing would happen.
Yeah.
No matter how much you tried to avoid it.
Yeah. And a crisis like that, even with 9/11 being the most, the biggest example you could give, it's everybody in the country was go ahead, you have the green light, blow up whoever you want, which I'm sure it's like totally reasonable thing to feel at the time. But then it's like the people in power use that as an excuse of like, okay, let's complete all our agendas, because right now everybody's like, we don't care what you do, just, you know, get them back. But
yeah,
I don't know. I think,
well, technically there was, if you go back in history and during World War II, technically Japan did.
Well, yeah. And that was the same thing. It's like, now we can be involved. Mm-hmm. It was like, we're staying out of this conflict. Yeah. And then that happens. It's like, okay, go blow up, you know, drop some nukes, you know? And then, which I don't even know if I think, I don't want to get into that, but I don't even think dropping nukes on Japan was a good thing. I don't think it was necessary. I think they were ready to negotiate beforehand, but they kind of spin the narrative of like, oh, their whole thing is never surrender, and they weren't going to surrender unless they dropped the bombs. But even Eisenhower said we didn't need to do that. Eisenhower said that was not necessary. They were ready to negotiate.
That whole thing started with the threat of Germans having nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole thing. That's when Oppenheimer and all them got involved and was developing the A-bomb.
Yeah.
So that was the race. We need the bomb before Germany does it, because if Germany has the bomb, they're going to drop it on the United States.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing. And then we actually defeated Germany, but we're still in conflict with Japan. So the A-bomb was designed, wasn't supposed to be used for weapon, but they knew the technology was going to be used for weapons. That's why they were funded.
See, I didn't see the movie, so I don't.
It's not really the movie. I'm just trying to go back the way it was.
Yeah.
That's how the whole race started. You know, and then they knew when they got funded and everybody was getting together, they knew it was going to become weaponized.
Right.
So once they did that, yes, they ended up dropping the bomb. A lot of people saying Japan was on the verge of surrendering anyways. And so did they really need to drop the bomb?
Yeah. That's also something we'll never really know.
We never know.
Yeah.
We never know. But once they did it, you know, I couldn't even imagine the mass destruction of being there.
It also changed the world. Like, it changed, you know,
the whole, that was the whole thing. And Einstein warned everybody about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Einstein said, you know, if you guys come up with this technology, you are going to destroy the world.
Yeah. I forget who said this, but they said, I don't know what weapons World War III will be fought with, but World War IV will be fought with sticks and rocks. You know?
I guess.
Because you're going to blow everything up, you know? There's going to be nothing left.
And then what was really mad is, and why they continued, is because that information got leaked and the Soviet Union started making the A-bomb, where they were getting pissed because, like, where did that information come? Why do they have it? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So anyways, that was the whole, just a history lesson.
The whole spies, Russian and American spies.
Correct.
But yeah, we can get off that topic. I just wanted to start with something light and easy and fun. Mm. You know, look at how much fun we're having now.
Yeah.
Do you have anything you want to jump into?
What,
or do you
want to talk about? I don't know. Hit it again. I'm always talking about something.
Okay. Well, so there's a big scandal in LawTube right now. LawTubers are usually lawyers who just, they cover different cases, like people that covered, you know, Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, mm-hmm. or like they just follow the case. They get a lot of views because people want to follow these trials. One of them, Nick Riccata, just got arrested for having like a mountain of cocaine in a house with five children. And he was like this. I just basically just brought this up because I want to show you the picture. I'll pull it up in a second. But just to watch him go from like, he was like this humble Christian family man who was a lawyer and a commentator, mm-hmm. to now he's like a cokehead, sex maniac, swinger, bringing drugs around his kids. And it's just like, if you look at the progression of like six months of what it did to this guy, I'm gonna see if I can look it up before and after, see if that comes up. So let's go back, let's see how far.
So the guy's got like 447 what was his followers?
He's got 447,000. So, and he's mostly live streams and just mm-hmm. follows trials and stuff. So let's see, this is 10 months ago, so all less than a year ago.
Evil or racist or whatever. That does not merit censorship, guy. In my opinion.
He was already he already started coke at this point.
Okay.
Let me see if I can find the deleted stream. Yeah, there you go.
If Vito's a non-offending pedo, I don't want him to die. I want his pizza and his body rendered down into their constituent elements. There's a lot of fat there. He's gross. Have you ever seen a Subway sandwich? Have you ever seen 15?
He's out there.
Oh, known for a party.
think he.
The party's literally.
That's when you have like shoving their fat. You know, a half gallon of whiskey.
I think he's doing a little bit more than coke.
It's yeah, he's got like a half gallon of whiskey and then a pile of cocaine, and then you just get, you know, that. Ooh. That's what you get.
Damn.
But yeah, he ended up. There was a part in that stream where everybody thinks he was jerking off because he like starts biting his finger and doing this. And don't clip that, anybody. I didn't do that. Yeah, he's just like, he got arrested and with his wife and his mistress got arrested with a bunch of coke in the house with his children and guns that weren't locked up and stuff. And it's like, and he's still trying to fight it because he's still in active addiction. So like, I don't know if he's going to fight this the whole way. Like he should plea out, wow. You know, but it's just crazy internet drama that I follow, but yeah. I'm going to have to see where this one goes.
You'll have to follow that.
Mm-hmm.
See, to people like that, they made the wrong decision. I don't feel sorry for them at all.
Well,
I mean, he did it to himself.
Yeah. There's
no one made him do anything.
No, I don't think there's any feeling bad for him. The kids, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, the kids don't ask for any of this. The kids are the ones that, you know.
And who knows what they had to put up with. I mean, the reason why that they got the cops had to knock down their door is because the kids were going to school into, like, their church, mm-hmm. you know, CCD or whatever, and they were wearing the same clothes and not smelling good, looking like they weren't eating good, and then, you know, that's how they got the warrant to go in his house. That plus watching the streams where you can see he's obviously intoxicated, but... Yeah, it's sad that like that's what it takes for something like that to happen. And it's also somebody who is who like was respected at one point, who now, like, you saw that video, he's mm-hmm. you know, he looks rough.
Yeah. That is
pretty bad. Yeah.
All I hear is
and it's also funny that just being on the internet forever, like you have, you know, get too drunk and coked up on the stream.
Like one day we're just like, check us out. Next thing you know, we're like,
yeah, we should. I mean, we'll have a marathon stream where we go for 36 hours straight and we have to finish like two bottles of whiskey. We'll see where that goes. We'll just embarrass ourselves. We'll do it live.
Probably get a million views for it.
We would. And then, you know, then it'd be over for us. We'd be over. We'd get our 15 minutes.
15 minutes of fame.
Yep.
Oh, God. That is funny. I have to follow it. I don't follow anything like that.
Yeah, I follow a lot of internet YouTuber drama and stuff, and mm-hmm. yeah, this one just happened.
You know me. I can always bash on Elon Musk some more.
Oh, great! The people love it.
People love that.
Wait, before you go into that, did you see? Now I'm setting you up here. Did you see Kanye's new Cybertruck?
Oh, he's one of the minions.
Hold on, I just want to show you. I don't want to ruin it yet. There's a viral video going around and people saying this is Kanye's new Cybertruck. And I saw it and I said, I want one.
Oh, God.
Because you know me. Man. Look at this thing.
Yes, asking for some change. Now you change. Yeah, I told you.
Look at it.
Dumb.
Looks like...
What the hell is that?
It looks like an external hard drive or something.
Wow.
Looks like a Roku on the road.
Wow.
Did
you read my text the other day when I told you I saw my first truck going down the road?
Let me say this first. That video was not real. It was not Kanye's. Yeah, it was just some Dutch designer made it or something. But go ahead. You said you did tell me you saw
I officially saw one.
I
officially saw a Cybertruck going down the road. It was bigger than I thought.
Yeah.
Because I'd never seen one in person.
Right.
I've seen lots of videos. I've had people tell me about how bad they are. But I'd never seen one in person. So I finally saw one. It's not my cup of tea. I still think it looks dumb.
Is it like,
but it's definitely bigger than I thought.
Is it like as big as that like Volkswagen out there, or is it bigger than that?
Bigger than that.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So that's how I was picturing it to be, like that size.
Yeah, it's bigger than that.
Huh.
But yeah, I saw it going down the road and I was like, oh, here we go.
Did you see it broken down on the road 3 miles later?
I don't know what he was doing. He was following behind a van or a truck really close. And I was like, man, if that truck stands on his brakes,
he's done for.
He's done.
Yeah.
But yeah, but it was.
Well, I haven't watched the videos of them brake testing this vehicle yet. We could probably see some of those.
Well, since you want to bring up the Cybertruck, you know me, I have all kinds of stuff on the Cybertruck.
What do you got? Is there new stuff or just more data?
I don't know if it's new stuff, but I'm just, you know how I've always said that. You know, Elon Musk is a snake oil salesman.
Yes.
And that's basically what he did when... have you ever seen the video where Elon Musk put out the video of the Tesla truck pulling a Porsche 911 and beating the 911 on a drag race.
I think I did see that. Yeah, yeah. I remember that.
And everybody was like, oh my God, this thing is super fast. It's so cool. Yeah. Oh my God, check it out.
Was it fake?
First of all, Motor Trend got a hold of it and said, hold up, Elon Musk. You guys need to back down here because what you're saying isn't true.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I knew it. When I saw it, I'm like, this is typical Elon Musk fashion, right?
See, that I would consider a snake oil thing where it's like.
So let me just tell you what he did here real quick.
Let me know if you need the video or if you need me to look something up.
If you can find the video of the drag race.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead and we'll cut it in there.
All right. I'll see it. I'll see what it's.
He's drag racing a Porsche 911.
No, I spelled Porsche wrong.
Oh, damn.
All right. Cybertruck beats Porsche 911 while towing a 911. We can check this out. Let me turn it down a little bit. Very cinematic. See, this is how
is what he does.
This is how you sell something. Yes, you know?
This is what he. This is why he's so good at it. Yeah, he likes to just.
I'm sold.
I'll watch. That's how fast.
Under 11 seconds, 0 to 60 in 2.6.
That's stupid fast.
Yeah.
Amazingly fast.
But I'm guessing there's a catch.
Oh, there is. There's definitely a catch.
Yeah. So what did they
say? So everybody who saw this video said, oh my God, this Cybertruck is so damn fast.
Yeah.
I want one. And if you didn't know anything or understood what was going on, mm-hmm. I could see how you could want one of those.
Yeah.
He also did another video. I don't know if you can find it where he outpulled an F-350.
I think I saw that one. Yeah.
He also faked that one too.
Okay.
There it is.
50.
Yeah. This doesn't surprise me at all. Then they pull up the F-350.
Well, those are both electric vehicles.
Those are electric.
Okay.
Here comes the F-350 diesel, almost at the end. Here comes the Cybertruck. Look how awesome we are. And nobody's going to pay attention to that wording right there because they're too busy looking.
Yeah, I missed
at the truck going down. And look at this thing just tearing it up.
Hell yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
It is.
Look at that. Just outpulls it.
But I didn't read the fine print.
Of course you didn't. Because nobody paid attention to that. Everybody was so interested in that 317-foot. We outpulled the F-350. So, he did the exact same thing with the Porsche. So, Motor Trend got a hold of this and said, no, we know what? We really need to get to the bottom of this. Did this really happen?
Okay.
So, what he did is he took the Cybertruck and basically turned it into a cyber beast. Because he ran three electric motors in that that Cybertruck.
And that's not standard then.
No. That's over 800 horsepower.
Okay.
Versus the Porsche 911 lower end at 385 horsepower.
Okay.
So of course.
Just any way you can put your finger on the scale.
Of course. It's going to do it. And he did the same thing on the tractor pull.
Yeah.
Because what you didn't read on that number was tri-motor Cybertruck.
Okay. So yeah, that's the.
So he takes that Cybertruck, jacks it up to over 800 horsepower.
Mm-hmm.
Now the F-350 doesn't have 800 horsepower in it.
Yeah.
But he, of course you're going to outdo him because you have more torque. That's what's so fun about electric vehicle. And I'll never take this away from electric vehicle is the instant torque.
Yeah.
I mean, you just hit the pedal and you go.
It's like an RC car.
You're gone. And that's the fun part because I've drove electric vehicles. I mean, even anything electric is like that. I just love being thrown back in the seat. And you know me, I'm a car enthusiast. And I have cars out back that can do
Would you ever get one?
I don't know if I could get one unless it was souped up to where it would just go stupid fast. And I'm not driving it because I want a electric vehicle because I don't care about gas anymore. It's just I want to go fast.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and they go fast.
That's all the reason you need, really.
Yeah. And they go stupid fast. Mm-hmm. So let's not knock that. But that's what he did with that video. And so Porsche or Motor Trend got a hold of that and said, okay, let's make this realistic. And they did this time. And the Porsche actually beat the Cybertruck, I think 6 out of the 7 races. So that's the kind of things that drive me crazy about Elon Musk because that's what he does. He's a showman. Yeah. He's a snake oil salesman.
I'm sure he got a shitload of investments off of that.
Exactly. Yeah. Because when you see it, nobody's actually going to – if you're targeting a certain generation, they're not going to go, oh, my God, let's dig into this. What does the Porsche 911 do? What are all the – if you're not a car enthusiast, who cares? Right.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, you're not – you'd be like, oh, my God, I want one because it's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You're not a car enthusiast. You don't know what was going on.
That's the extent of my interest in it. Yeah. It's just,
So now when these people get these things, it doesn't do what they saw in the video.
Yeah.
Okay. Their Cybertruck doesn't have 895 horsepower.
Right.
They're like, what's going on?
Because they have what? Are they standard with like a single battery, right? Yeah,
I think there's a single motor, two motor option.
Okay.
And things like that. But I'm sure you can get a tri motor. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
or you just soup it up like your golf cart and just put a shitload of batteries, put an extra motor in there.
But that's why people were frustrated, because it's not doing what the video showed.
Yeah.
You know, and that's his snake oil. He did the same thing with the Hyperloop. Does anybody even remember what the hell the Hyperloop is?
Was that like the high speed train?
So, yeah, you know, that thing that he came out. So all he did, and again, this is Elon Musk and his snake oil salesman. He took a 200-year-old concept.
Yeah. Was it the magnetic?
It was the vacuum tube.
Oh, okay.
It was over 200 years old, this concept. And he coined the word Hyperloop. Mm-hmm. And everybody thought he invented it. He
did something new.
He put a little bit of a twist on it. Mm-hmm. And he went around pumping his chest like he invented the damn thing. And he didn't. Mm-hmm. So, actually, back in 1825, that was called London Edinburgh Vacuum Tunnel Company, came up with this concept. They did a model, they did a design, but they couldn't get it to work because they just didn't have the technology back then to do it.
Okay. What year was it?
1825. The Japanese have been using that technology since 1969.
Oh, really?
And they actually have a few of them that they use. China has the first true Hyperloop system that they actually built, where Elon Musk was just fooling around with it and never really got the damn thing to work. Mm-hmm. But what he did is he coined that phrase Hyperloop, and everybody was like, oh my God, Elon Musk, he's a genius. He's a mastermind. No, all he did was take a concept that already existed, put some lights on it, sprinkle some little fairy dust on it, and everybody thought it was great.
Put his name on it.
And that's what he does. Same thing with his galaxy train. He did the same thing with the galaxy train, where he thought he was going to design this thing that was supposed to replace the train, get rid of steel and rail. What'd he do? He showed up with a train that was on a track with steel wheels. That's really? A train.
Yeah, I didn't know about that.
But that's a train. What did he do? He put the station had galaxy lights, and it flickered and it lit up, and it was so cool. And my God, look at this futuristic train.
That's there to trick the stupid people like me.
That's what he does, you know? That's the snake oil salesman in him. And he's done it more than once. His robot. There's a company out there. Man, I should get into this a little bit more. As a matter of fact, I'll go into another episode where
I was going to say, it seems like you have enough on Elon Musk you could do hours on him.
I mean, there's where he keeps, showing videos of his rope, this advanced robot that he's designing that only one arm moves at a time. And there's another company, they have a robot who does backflips and can run and climb stairs. I mean, it's just, he's so not up with that, but wants everybody to believe that he's inventing this technology.
Does that have anything to do with the Boston Dynamics?
Yes.
Is that it?
Those guys. Okay.
Their whole business model is just those videos. That's it.
I don't think they actually insane.
The videos are cool.
What that robot does is nuts.
Does it actually do any of that stuff? Really?
Yes.
I thought it was all another thing where it's like, look what we can do to try to get investors, and it's not really.
I mean, they probably could, but the robot actually can do it.
Yeah.
Where Elon Musk robots have to be supported. They come up with a crane and then they're dropped, and then they like shuffle their feet and they stand on one leg. And this thing's doing backflips and running upstairs.
Yeah. Dude, imagine being like, T2 Judgment Day. Imagine being chased down by one of those things, because that's what they're going to use. They're going to use it for war, you know? If they ever get it done right,
But yeah, that's why I'm not a fan of Elon Musk. And everybody asks me, you're not smart. You're not this. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying the man is taking technology that already exists and is just putting a twist on it. And everybody thinks he did it.
Hey, you're talking about one of the most richest men in the world.
He is one of the most richest men in the
world. Put some respect on his name, all right?
Yeah, I think he is the richest man now.
Is he?
I think he overtook number one.
You guys, we better not see any comments about anything. Whatever. About Elon Musk. I'm just kidding.
How about him? How about him and his $54 billion, package that he wants from Tesla?
Oh, yeah.
He's still on this.
Is he still?
Yeah. Here's how dumb this guy. This is what a spoiled rich kid does. So he told his investors, if you vote for me to give me this $54 billion compensation package, I'll let you take a tour of my Tesla plant. What the fuck?
See, that's so outlandish that I'm taking your word for it, but I would have a hard time believing that's even real.
It is.
Like, it's so insane to me.
Watch it. I'm going to look it up because I am dead serious that this is what he says.
It just doesn't, like, there's almost no excuse. I can't think of any excuse for him to do that, especially with how.
He also says, if you don't vote for me and I don't get this compensation package, that he will take his technology and make it somewhere else, which will hurt Tesla. This is a little kid crying.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. That's.
Here you go. Want a Tesla factory tour? Vote for Elon Musk's $56 billion pay package.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Also, who wants a tour that bad anyway?
Elon Musk is offering tours of Tesla's factories next month to his 15 shareholders who vote for his $56 billion pay package. I told you it was real.
That's crazy. Why would I mean, I wouldn't even. You'd have to pay me to go tour that plant, you know?
Yeah, and these shareholders are like, what? Like, are you that egotistical? Like, you think that I need to be in your presence? And they're voting no. And he's pissed. Because he got shot down once already, where the judge in Delaware shot him down for doing this the first time. Now he's trying it in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I don't think he's going to get it passed. And now what he's saying, people, is if you don't vote and I don't get this, I'll take my AI technology and I'll make it outside Tesla, which is going to make Tesla worth zero. That's what he said. Tesla will be worth zero if you don't give me my compensation package.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's messed up.
Yeah.
Also, he should be, I mean, Tesla's his.
And again, people think he invented the Tesla car. He did not.
He bought the company.
He did not invent the Tesla car. He did not invent electric vehicles.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, as a matter of fact, I had somebody who sent that to us.
What, that he invented?
Yeah. He's like, he invented Tesla. I'm like, no, he didn't.
No.
He bought the company. The man knows how to make money. Obviously, he's the richest man in the world.
Yeah. Just by buying companies and hyping them up and then selling them.
It has nothing to do with, oh, you're stupid and he's rich. Yeah. Okay. He's rich. Great. The man knows how to fool people.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a reason why, if you go back and look at his history, why he's been removed as CEO multiple times in multiple different companies, because he can't stay on target.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Tesla is so scared about. Why would we give you a $56 billion compensation package when you are not even invested in Tesla? You want to take that money and go do something else with it.
Yeah.
So why the hell would we want to give it to you? And so people just need to wake up and stop saying, oh, you know, Elon's great. Mm-hmm. He's Lord and Savior.
I don't know. I'm sure there's, I mean, we've seen them. We know there's plenty of them out there.
Yeah. It drives me crazy. I mean, it's fact. I'm not making it up.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'll get off that topic. I can
talk. I know you got more.
I can talk hours about him because I follow him. There's other things we can talk about.
Well, what do you got?
Well, that's another comment someone said. You know, said like, "What do you know about cars?"
You?
Yeah, that's what someone told me.
I was going to say they could say that to me, but you're literally building one from almost nothing. So,
but people don't know who we are.
Yeah.
So nor do we. Yeah.
That's why we save the personal stuff for the end when most people have tuned out anyway.
Yeah. So we did have one person, you know, said, what do you know about cars? Because I was saying something about the Cybertruck.
Oh, okay. And, I think I did see that comment. Yeah. I didn't think about it because I'm like, yeah, I don't know anything about cars.
So. I actually do. I'm a car enthusiast. You know, ever since I was, my God, I think I did my first oil change when I was 12 in my grandfather's garage.
Yeah.
But I've been driving cars, building cars, restoring cars. Crap, you see the one I got out in the garage.
Yeah. Any progress on that?
Yeah, I'm back on that now.
Nice.
I'm starting to do the subframe, doing the motor work on it. I got to get the other car ready for some car shows.
Yeah, I was going to say, weather's getting nice.
I got to get that out of the garage, wax it all up, get it ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, let me see if I can remember what it is. It's a Camaro Z28 19.
Well, that's the first. That's the first one. That's one of them.
Yeah. And that, what year is that? 1970?
That's a 78.
78. And then the other one is a 79 Trans Am.
That's a Trans Am.
10th anniversary.
That's a 10th anniversary, limited edition.
And that's the one that needs all the work.
They only made like 7,500 of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one I have completed. That's a off-the-frame restoration.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, now it's just putting it back together again.
Yeah, that thing's been torn apart for a while. A few years.
A few years. That's the problem, because I don't do it full time. Mm-hmm. I only do it when I can. But yeah, that's because we have full time jobs.
Yeah, I mean,
people didn't know that either.
Well, yeah, we do have jobs.
We had a lady tell us to go get a job because we were, what you say? Oh, you're trying to get famous on YouTube. Why don't you go get a real job?
Yeah, got it. You know, okay, we're doing this for fun.
Sorry, we do this for fun. We actually have full time jobs.
Yeah. But yeah, with the car stuff, like, that's something I could see myself getting into, like, at some point in my life. But right now, it's like, I told you this before because you invited me to go to a car show, and I said that I'm gonna go shopping with the girls. You know, you can go to the car show, because I'm like, what am I gonna do? Walk around and say, can't afford that, can't afford that. Wish I had that, can't afford that. You know what I mean? Unless I buy one from a junkyard and build it from nothing, which I don't have the time to do right now. So I'll wait until wait until the kids are in college, and then I'll get, then I'll do it.
College, yeah, it costs money.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Once that's paid for.
But that's what I did. I mean, when it was just me, I had my cars, and, I'm also a sports fanatic. I love sports.
Yeah.
Played sports in college and all that as well. But once I had a family, I stopped with the cars, because my attention was all to my family. And it's once my kids grew up and were out of the house, then I went back.
And you're like, now I have some time.
Now I got time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all I do really is, like, outside of my job, which I have, I make music, which is a hobby also. It's never I'm never gonna get famous doing it, and I'm not trying to, but I have a lot of fun with it. And Sage does it with me sometimes. She likes to hear what she tells me if my song's good or not. And then Allie has her little, like, side business thing where she also has a job, but she does, like, t-shirts and tumblers and all that stuff. So that's like.
Speaking of t-shirts, we gotta get some promos going out there with our shirts.
Yeah, we definitely do. I'm gonna get new shirts for. I learned after I washed the last ones that I made, they were too stretchy, like too much polyester, and it started to wrinkle the vinyl. Yeah. So I'm gonna have to get a better quality t-shirt.
Yeah, we'll have to get some promos going up here and get some people to take our merch.
Yeah. Yeah, just take it and wear it in public. That's all we can do.
Just wear it in public. Take a picture and put it. Yeah. We'll post it.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, I'm happy. I mean, we're not, like I said, we do this for fun.
Yeah.
But man, we have some followers. We have a ton of views.
That's great. I'll do this forever, even if it's, so far, like, we put money into it. We haven't gotten anything out of it. And I'm going to keep doing it, even if we never do, because it's fun.
It's fun to us. I like topics. I like listening to what people have to say when we talk, whether you agree with us or not.
And eventually, I think we'll get enough people who are, like, returning.
Mm-hmm. We have that now.
Yeah, we do.
I've seen it several times now.
People that come back, yeah.
Coming back and constantly giving us comments.
Mm-hmm.
So
I like the funny ones. The people who come and make jokes,
I like it. Like I said, you can't offend me, so you say whatever you want. But I just think it's funny when you say something silly, but then there's nothing to back it up. Or when I comment back to you, you don't respond.
See, I can relate to that because I've done that to people. I fuck with people online sometimes. Even like... famous comedians and stuff. I'll fuck with them on Twitter or whatever and get them to block me. So, like, I understand that,
whatever.
Saying something stupid just to mess with somebody, even though it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything. Like, I'm not going to ball up and be like, oh my God, hear what he said.
Yeah.
Who cares?
But if someone does it to me, I'm coming for you.
Like that one guy.
Yeah.
Remember he said.
Oh, that guy. I'm still fired up about that guy.
What makes you think your opinion's valid?
All right. Well, I mean, unless you got more you want to go off, I'm ready to wrap it up. I think
I'm done until next time. Hopefully we'll get on here a lot quicker, but right now we're so busy.
Yeah, there's so much going on. I do want to keep it at least somewhat regular though. And and then we'll get back in
here. We keep saying that we're going to get a third person on here, but
we will
just because we're just so busy right now that I can't.
And we were also thinking about right now using our channel to do some like solo stuff where it's just him and or just me, or that it would be like me with a guest or him with a guest whenever I'm not here or whatever. So could be different kinds of content, different kinds of conversations.
And we also want to hear from the people who are giving comments. If you want to actually get live with us,
get live. Yeah. I would like to do that. It is a little nerve-wracking because you got to get everything right. There's going to be some technical
difficulty. Or we can have them call in.
Yeah.
Have them call in. Well, actually, we'll reach out to them and say, hey, do you want to call in on the show? And then we'll talk to them.
Yeah, we could take...
I think that would be very cool.
It would be
to start interacting with the people who are commenting.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I want to hear what they sound like. Cause I always said, when you write something or text something or something, like, there's no emotion involved. It's motionless.
It is easy to misinterpret.
It's easy. Like, maybe you didn't want to say a certain thing or it came off wrong or something mm-hmm. like that. But when you actually physically can hear someone's voice, then you know, okay, you know, now you're getting angry, or you agree, or you think this is funny, or you don't think it's funny.
Right. And it also leads to a more, like, in-depth personal conversation instead of just, like, somebody texting from some random profile picture that it's probably not even them, you know?
So if we reach out to you and ask, give us a yay or nay.
Yeah.
We'll put you on the show.
Yeah.
I think that'll be great.
Yeah, me too.
There's a few people I'd like to reach out and be like, hey,
yeah, why don't you come on?
Let's come on. Yeah. You're going to
have
a show.
That way you can have the guys, the mm-hmm. Elon Musk supporters, you can have them on.
Or the non, whatever. It doesn't matter to me. Have them all on if I could. Great. All right. Well, let's wrap this thing up, and then hopefully we'll be back here sooner than later.
Yeah, we'll be back soon. All right. Thank you, guys.
Peace out.